All right, we're on the line with Joe Donovan, who was at WHAS Radio for a good long time, at least 20 years, right, Joe?
As a matter of fact, it was 20 years, yes, John.
When exactly were you at the Big 84 in Louisville?
Started in January of 1977.
And that wasn't, of course, your first radio job. I'm sure you were in radio several years before that, right?
Oh, yeah. I was in radio about 40 years before I retired.
All right, and where did you start in broadcasting?
Started at a little station in Loveland, Colorado. Little 250-watt daytime station out there back in 1959 or 1960.
Is that where you're from?
From Colorado, yeah. I was in Loveland, Fort Collins, and Denver.
And which radio stations did you work at before coming to WHAS? Real quickly, some of the stations and markets you were at.
Well, not that many. I'm one that I find a station I like, and I research it pretty thoroughly, and then decide I want to stay for a while. I was at KLOV in Loveland, that was my first job, and then I was transferred to a little station, KWRV in McCook, Nebraska. Then I went to KCOL in Fort Collins, then to KOA in Denver, then out here to WHAS.
And how did you get the job in Louisville? What was the reason that you made the transition from Denver to the Derby City?
I was doing an oldies gig out in Denver, playing oldies at night on a 50,000-watt station out there, and really enjoyed it. And I had approached them about doing that because nobody really was playing the oldies back then. So I decided to do it with my record collection, and they gave me carte blanche, so to speak, and had a good time doing the show at KOA. And, then I was transferred to Days for a while at KOA, and then went back to Nights. Anyway, they eventually went all news, as many stations did back then and still are doing today. That meant elimination of my job, of course, so then I came out here.
Who did you replace at WHAS? What were they doing before they put you on?
I think they had a syndicated old folks show out here for a while on WHAS, at least on the midnight shift.
So you came to WHAS to do the overnights?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay. And is that the primary shift that you worked there through your 20 years?
Primarily, because I worked, I came out here to do the oldies overnight, and then they decided that they wanted me on Days for a while, so I went Days and did midday and did some television audio at the same time and did that for a few years and then went back to Nights again.
Well, I remember listening to you when I was in Kentucky in the 70s. I would work at a radio station in the Lexington area and get off at midnight, and there was really nothing to listen to, and I'd always switch over to WHAS and enjoyed hearing your program over the years. And even when I moved down south to South Carolina, I really enjoyed listening to your oldie show. And one thing about your show is that it seemed like it was a nice blend of the familiar oldies and also the songs that you'd never heard before, unless you were a real oldies fan. And that really is what kept it interesting, even into the point where stations would go oldies, but they would tend to pull their music from the same 300 or 400 or 500 title library. I noticed with your show, you tended to dip more into some of the more obscure or more lesser played tunes.
I didn't want to do the show if I was going to be required to play the same tried and true 400 or 500 songs over and over again, because there's no challenge to that. Doesn't take any creative juices to do something like that. And I wanted to be able to play the music that I thought people really were asking for, they wanted to hear. Of course, the major hits, but a lot of the lesser hits as well, because they were popular as well. And anybody can play the same 500, you know, consultant-approved songs over and over. So I decided to branch out and do something different. We wound up with a huge audience on the night side, to the point where WHAS just kind of gave me a carte blanche to do what I wanted to do at night.
Who was the program director who hired you there?
Well, the program director was Jerry David Malloy, and the manager at the time was Hugh Barr.
Okay.
I think it was a joint decision.
Did they give you very much guidance, or did they say, hey, here's 5 hours, and you do whatever you want to?
Well, no, you have to earn that right. When I started, they trusted my judgment for the most part, but they laid down some guidelines, you know, things they wanted me to follow. And I did that, and then I started branching out and getting a little more creative with old TV themes and old commercials that I would find. And I'd go down to the basement of the station and dig out some old commercial ETs, you know, those old transcriptions from years old.
Mm-hmm.
HAS is an old station. We had those old cigarette commercials and everything else from back in the 40s and 50s. So I'd spend many days at the station going down and dubbing those things over.
Wow.
After a while, I got quite a collection of those and TV themes and started mixing those in with the flow of music. And the station, the guys there seemed to like it. Pardon me. I gave up smoking about 6 months ago. And
well, congratulations.
A little bit.
Well, anyway. I tell you what, you had a smooth voice on the air. I mean, you just had a great delivery, and that's one thing I remember about Joe Donovan besides the oldies was just the way you sounded on the air. I would love to sound half as good as you did when you were on WHAS.
You flatter me too much, sir.
Well, I enjoyed listening to you, and one thing I always remember hearing was the Cruisin' albums. You would throw one of those on every once in a while. I don't know, was that just to give yourself a break, or you really enjoyed playing those?
I thought they just meshed beautifully into the format and what we were doing. Of course, I enjoyed a break, but at the same time, when they put some of those out, they didn't use the original versions of the hits. So I went through, and I would dub in the real original versions of some of those hits, because nothing irritates a real oldies aficionado more than some remake of an old oldies hit, even if it's by the same person.
When you were doing the radio show for WHAS, did you pay more attention to programming for Louisville or programming for the state of Kentucky, or you had a huge national audience with that 50,000-watt signal at 840 on the dial? Were you more concerned or as concerned with your national listeners?
Both really, because I didn't play a whole lot of the local Louisville hits because I didn't know them. Not having been brought up here, I didn't know them. Of course, I did well in Denver. I knew all the local hits out there, but here, they didn't apply. So some friends here told me about the local hits and what was popular, and I looked at some of the old charts, but for the most part, I had to realize that there was a lot of people out there that weren't in Louisville at the time. So I think for the most part, I just went for more of a national or, you know, several state audience in programming.
What about the radio stations that were the big top 40 giants in Louisville? Of course, they had pretty much gone away, or they were past their prime when you were there at WHAS, but Wacky and WKLO. How much did you get involved with their history and some of the songs they played, speaking of the Louisville music?
Well, really, probably very little, because there again, I wasn't brought up with those stations. So I didn't know them or their history other than what local people had told me. There again, the closest I could get was just looking at some of the old surveys and talking to other people, you know, what was popular and what they played and who some of the popular disc jockeys were at the time.
What was a typical Joe Donovan all-night show on WHAS like? How much research, how much preparation did you put in a typical show?
Oh, boy. It's hard to say, because I would, we're at those strange hours, I would get off at 5 a.m. and come home and pull the requests for the next night, and that would take an hour and a half or so. Because all the music played on the show was on my personal record file at home.
You didn't play carts or CDs?
We actually played the records. So I'd come home and do that, and then I'd try to lie down for 2 or 3 hours, then get up and program the show for that night, which took, probably another couple of hours. And I always went in about 3 hours before airtime to get. I was kind of a standing joke there. Here comes Donovan. You know, he's the one that comes in about 3 hours early. I bring in stacks of records, and I had everything written down on worksheets of paper along with which TV themes I'd mesh with which songs and which old commercials I'd mesh with what and so on and so forth. So it was a lot of preparation. It really was.
Did you have any other duties at the radio stations? Did you have to do commercials or?
No.
All right. So that was pretty much your bread and butter. You were in at 9 o'clock at night, and you were gone at 5.
Yeah, because it was a long board shift, just 5 hours.
And WHAS was a big radio station. I guess you weren't all by yourself. Didn't you have some news people or somebody around the radio station, or were you all?
Oh yeah, okay. Yeah. The news staff was there, and of course, you had an engineer or two, and we're tied into TV too, so there was always a TV newsroom there too.
All right, if I were to talk about a Joe Donovan show that was maybe aired 3 years after you got to WHAS, after they gave you carte blanche, and then comparing it to a Joe Donovan all-night show 10 years later or towards the end of your tenure at WHAS, would they be pretty much the same, or had the show evolved and changed a little bit over that time?
Well, I think it did, yeah. I think that the longer it went, I think the better it got. I believe, it's been so many years ago now, I don't recall that well. But I know the longer it went, the more work I started putting into it. Although I was working pretty hard on it at the front end of it, too, you know. I don't know. I'd have to hear one of those old shows to know. I don't recall that. It's been a long time.
All right, what about requests? Were the requests always done the next show, or did you take requests live on the air?
I always took them for the next show because I just couldn't get them all in that night. Or, yeah, the requests were always taken to be played back the following night.
Did you have to answer all the phones yourself, or did you have an assistant?
No, I answered the phones because I wanted to answer the phones.
You wanted to talk to your listeners.
No, I didn't have an assistant anyway, but I would have wanted to anyway, because I needed to stay in touch with my audience. I wanted to see what they were thinking and talking about.
What was your favorite thing about working at WHAS?
Oh, gee, that's hard to say.
Was it the programming freedom? Was it the ability to do the kind of show you wanted to? Was it?
Well, of course, that was part of it. But a lot of HAS, the work that I did there, was also during the day. The first few years, I worked during the day and did some TV work, which I enjoyed. And I just liked being with the people there. They were real professionals. Most of them were. And just I really enjoyed that, the interaction with them. And I certainly enjoyed the big 50-kilowatt signal at night. That was really nice. That's what we had in Denver when I was at KOA. That was a 50. That's one of the reasons I wanted the show there, is because it was a 50,000-watt reach signal. That was a 1, 2A channel, I think. HAS is a 1A clear channel, or was.
The best that you can possibly get is a clear channel station.
Yeah, at the time.
And we're not talking clear channel, the company. We're talking about the original definition of clear channel.
Yeah, nobody else on that frequency but you. That was it that night.
Looking back at your time at WHAS, is there anything, any regrets you have, anything that you would have liked to have done differently now that you've had some distance between your show at HAS, or did things pretty much play out the way that you wanted it to?
I don't have any complaints. Of course, things never are perfect. I kind of wish sometimes that board shift I had hadn't have been 5 hours, because that's a long stint. And by the time that fifth hour gets there, as anybody knows in this business, you're just not at your best anymore.
Especially as much production value and as much as you actually put into the show. That was certainly a long time to be on the air.
Yeah, it was. I enjoyed the signal reach. I enjoyed the station. I loved the format and had that enviable position of being able to play essentially what I wanted to play all night, something that disc jockeys all across the country wanted to do. And I was one of the lucky ones given that freedom, and I know it's hard to come by. The reach of the signal was really nice, but the five-hour board shift was a bit long, but the way the job went, that was the job. So,
when you were selecting music to play on your show, did you kind of keep in mind, well, if I want to play the songs that I want to play, maybe they'd all be from the 50s, and maybe they'd be songs that haven't been burnt to a crisp. Did you keep in mind, as far as programming music, well, I need to mix in this and that, and needs to come from this era, and I need to mix in this familiarity. I still have to play the Buckinghams, even though they've been played to death. Was there a certain amount of art to it, or, I mean, did you set guidelines for yourself?
Oh, of course, yeah. Yeah, because you certainly can't play your favorites. You play some of them, of course, they're going to come up naturally in the run of things. But you've got to keep in mind that just because I don't like this or that, you've got to play them. You've just got to do it. And besides, the listeners would get on you if you start playing something that you've played too often. They'd let me know. That's one of your favorites, isn't it? Once in a while, they were right. Not all the time, but once in a while, they were right. But, sure, you have to keep that in mind if you're going to program intelligently.
Well, yeah, you have to. With all that freedom comes great responsibility, and the 20 years that you were at WHAS, you must have been doing some things right, because certainly if you were playing just what you like to hear on your own personal stereo, you wouldn't have lasted nearly as long. I've been in the music business and the radio business since 1972, and people say, John, what is your favorite song or your favorite artist? And I go, I don't know. I don't really have them. I mean, I like lots of stuff. Are you the same way, can you say that I've got a favorite group or a favorite genre of music?
Oh, I had a lot of them, but I couldn't name any one. What will really strike you as odd is people ask me sometimes what my personal favorite types of music are. And now I'm talking now, the last 15, 20 years, and it doesn't seem to jive at all with what I did all my life. I played that rock and roll music, and I loved it, and I still love it,
yeah.
The old stuff. But what I listen to today is classical music and Ernest Tubb's Through the Nose Country.
Well, classical music, those are the true oldies right there, you know.
Sure.
And classic country, the old-fashioned country, that sounds good too. I think if you've played a lot of one thing, that after a while you'll get a little burnout on it and something else will sound more refreshing. I got into the news talk arena because after listening to myself play, you know, music and listening to my radio station for hours and hours and hours, going home, I did not want to hear more music.
That's why I went just the opposite. When I get home, I turn on some classical music just for relaxing,
mm-hmm.
Like a string quartet, something slow and easy.
The last thing you want to hear are Four Seasons and Marvin Gaye.
Yeah. John, it hadn't been until the last probably 7, 8 years that I could even turn on oldies again.
Really?
You know, I love them, but you just get so tired of them. And today, with the stations playing the same tried and tested over and over and over, I don't, oh, make me show some creativity. Branch out there. Do something different for a change.
Well, you know, they say that the oldies format is dead, that people are dying. Do you think the oldies format, the music from the 50s, 60s, and 70s, is still a viable format if done a certain way?
Oh, yeah. If you start playing, I used to do an odd and obscure hour in the middle of the night. That was the most popular hour of the night because you brought out things that you didn't play every day. If you're going to do that kind of thing, you can do very well with songs that not everybody played. That would work for you. I think it would, but...
Well, it helps to have a presenter like you were, Joe, that would actually explain what it is instead of just throwing three mid-chart songs from the 60s on and putting a sweeper or jingle in between or just doing dead segues. If you have somebody that actually says, okay, well, everybody's heard of this artist, but did you know he had this song, and this was the reason why this song was not a hit but became popular in this area? When you have somebody like you, Joe Donovan, who does that, it makes it a lot more interesting. So I can see why that hour was one of your more popular hours there.
It shows that you care about your audience and you really want to do the best job, and it shows that you've done your homework.
All good things come to an end, and your time at WHAS came to an end. Can you talk about that? What happened where they said, Joe, we don't need you anymore?
Well, you asked about the viability of the oldies format. I don't know that it's going to do real well anymore, and part of the reason you probably have heard this before is I think people still like the old songs. It would help if they played something but the tried and true same records over and over again. But you got to get people that care a little bit more, and you got to remember, too, that the advertising dollars are just not there in oldies radio because, you know, well, you've heard the story, I'm sure, that it appeals to old people, and old people are so set in their ways that they don't follow, they don't buy the advertising.
But the old people are the people that have the money.
Oh, sure. That's what I feel like. I'm an old people now.
Yeah, you know, you don't see too many 20-year-olds driving around with Lexuses and BMWs and all this disposable income.
I agree. I agree entirely, but that's... Anyway... Your question, the show went very well till about 1998, I think it was. They canceled it then because it was still doing very well. People really enjoyed it, had a good following, but the station just didn't want to pay the BMI ASCAP licensing fees for the records anymore.
Because when you go to the news talk format, you have a much reduced cost as far as paying
for
money. Yeah,
because you got to pay big dollars to license and play those records overnight, and HAS and a lot of other stations just either didn't want to do it or they didn't think it was worth all that money for that time period. So,
was that surprising? Did it happen all of a sudden, or did you know it was coming down the pike?
The cancellation of my show?
Yes. The termination of Joe Donovan. Did you have an idea, or did they just bring you into the office?
I had an idea. Because I had heard rumblings about that, you know, that it's just so darn much that they want for those licensing fees. And ASCAP and BMI wouldn't back off, supposedly. And just kept wanting more and more money for him. And I had a feeling. It was a sad day when it happened, but it happened. So I was just, my feeling was, let's just do it and get it over with.
Did you get a chance to do a last show on the radio station?
Yeah, I did. I knew about a month ahead of time what the date would be. I didn't announce anything until the morning of that last show, and then mentioned it that very morning, because I didn't want to make a big deal out of it and get all these calls for 3 weeks, and then... The people who listened to the show, they had threatened to take it off the air a couple times before that.
Mm-hmm.
And each time the listeners came through in volumes with their phone calls and their letters and that type of thing and kept the show on the air a couple of times when they wanted to cancel it. And they turned around and said, well, we'll keep it on. We didn't know it was that popular. But this time it just couldn't.
At that time, had Clear Channel taken over the operation of the radio station? Was it still owned by Clear Channel?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I think they bought it in 86.
Do you think it was more of a corporate decision, or was it a local decision?
Well, I don't know for sure, but I tend to think it was corporate. They probably did it at most all their stations. But there again, when you got the kind of revenue that HAS made with that 50-kilowatt signal at night, you paid especially big bucks for the rights to play those records overnight.
Well, you would think that the advertising would more than cover that and your cost as well as the operation of the radio station, but I guess the revenue was not there.
No. No, it's that time period really hurts. And yet we know we have a good following on it, but it was hard to convince advertisers to buy Midnight to 5.
Well, what happened to Joe Donovan after you did that last show? Did you go anyplace else in radio?
No, not really. I went to work for a little station they had in the building out there for about a year and a half, just doing this menial thing, little things that didn't amount to much.
What station was that?
KJ, 1080 KJ.
Okay.
And just did some minor stuff for them. They were an easy listening station. And then at the end of that, I just reached time to hang it up.
So it was your decision to leave the company?
I think it was both. Either way, we parted on friendly terms. There was no problem there.
Do you miss being in radio?
The state of radio today, John, no. Not the way it is today. I really miss it when I think of that all-night show, because I did love doing that. I enjoyed the reach of that huge signal at night and the many friends that I made over the years. And playing the records, sharing the records with them, the old stuff, the more odd and obscure, it was a lot of fun. I enjoyed it. Long board shift. But yeah, I missed that. But I also like retirement.
If a station in Louisville came to you today and said, Joe, we're going to give you 5 hours of airtime or 4 hours of airtime, either every night or once a week to do the Joe Donovan Show, you can do whatever you want to, and it'll be streamed on the internet so anybody in the world could listen to it, would you entertain that offer?
I doubt it. I doubt it anymore, John. I don't think so.
Okay.
Also, a lot of the records, see, all the records I used on the show are my personal records. I had a library of about 40,000.
Wow.
45s. When I retired, I decided just to sell some of those on eBay.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't have to, but I thought, well, I don't know that my wife would know what to do with them if something happened to me. I didn't plan on getting back into the business again because I was just going to retire. I enjoyed retirement. And so I spent 6-7 years selling a lot of my 45s on eBay and enjoyed doing that. So a lot of the records I used to have for the show, I don't have anymore. Now, I don't think I'd be up today, not the state of the business these days.
So what is retirement like for you? What do you do during the week to keep yourself occupied?
Well, not a whole lot, to be honest with you, but that's what I like. My wife and I, she's retired too. We like to travel. I produce our church's radio program every week. We have a little deal at the church, a little radio program. And I like to read a lot and just stay busy doing that. And it keeps me busy.
Well, Joe, on behalf of all the fans of Joe Donovan, and as I mentioned to you when I set up the interview, there's even a Fans of Joe Donovan page on Facebook. People still fondly remember you. People have tapes of your old radio shows. We have a little bit of that over at lkyradio.com. And even though you've been away from it for a long time, I think you made an impact, not only in Louisville and Kentucky, but you made an impact across the country, and you are fondly remembered with all the many hours of entertainment that you gave us.
It means a lot to hear that, John. Thank you for sharing it with me. And to all the people that do listen, I appreciate their listening. I still hear from people via email, and it's nice to hear from them again. And while I wouldn't go back on the air again today, I sure enjoyed it then. And it was a good time, and I'm glad that we provided some hours of music to people that they liked, and music that maybe they haven't heard since.